blind like Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we find the story of a man who was blind. A man who heard that Jesus was coming by and began to cry out. As we read this account, we will find that we're reading about one who is trying as hard as he could to seek Christ. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 beginning. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This is just one of the many, many stories that we have, or the accounts, I think should be better said, of Christ healing someone. Many times people today, when they hear about the healing miracles of Jesus, think that the benefit was the miracle itself. The benefit was so that they might believe that he was the Son of God, as he said he was. The miracles were just proof of the power of God and manifested upon those people. In Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, verses 11 and 12, and Mark chapter 5, verses 25, 29 through 29 and 34 are also stories of people with the determination to find Christ and to be healed. And we see then that Bartimaeus is not the only one who sought Christ. In Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we see Christ in Capernaum. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Very much unlike today, when people hear that the word of God is being proclaimed, there are many, many seats available. I would love to have the opportunity to stand before a group when there were folks standing in the aisle or leaning in the door to hear the word of God. But and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What we see here is determination, that regardless of what it took, they were going to get their friend before Jesus. We see in verses 11 and 12 of Mark chapter 2, after some discussion had been said regarding the words that Jesus used, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And those who heard him, some of the people who heard him, called it blasphemy. But so that they might know and accept the power of God, in verses 11 and 12 he said, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. Verse 12 tells us, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. In Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 29, we see another situation. A woman who had determination and who fought through the crowds to do that which she felt was necessary so that she might receive healing. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, we can see from this that things haven't changed, have they? You go to all the doctors in the world, spend all your money, you're still going to be sick. But notice what she did. She grew worse. when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. We know the situation that existed immediately following that, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And of course the disciples then were incredulous, as they were so many people around that surely someone bumped up against Christ because of the people crowding closer and closer and closer to him. But he knew someone had touched him. And we go down to verse 34, we see in Mark chapter 5, he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Oftentimes people might look at this and say, well, see, the woman had faith. But the faith that she had was the faith that caused her to do something. The faith that the four had in getting their friend before Jesus caused them to do something. They went up on the roof. They tore up the roof. They lowered him down. They found a way. The same faith is what caused Bartimaeus to cry out. Tonight, as we study the account of Bartimaeus, we need to make some applications in our own lives. We need to learn about what it takes to receive sight and help others receive it as well. In other words, we need to be blind like Bartimaeus. I don't say that from the standpoint that we all need to lose our vision. Many of us have lost it in degrees over the years. I remember the time and remember it fondly when I didn't wear glasses. I didn't have to worry about sweat dripping down into my glasses when I'm trying to do something. Or as I got a little older, I have to crane my neck so far back because of bifocals so I can see up close. That's not what I'm talking about. I hope that I don't have to go through part of this life without being able to see. But I want to be blind like Bartimaeus. Why? First, we see that he was searching. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 7. We'll see words here that really epitomize Bartimaeus. And I say that because we will look at this and then we will look at the account of Bartimaeus and we'll see that he did exactly those things that Isaiah said we should do. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he was near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Going right back to our text, Mark chapter 10, we see what happened. When verse 47, it tells us, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out." What did Isaiah say? "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he was yet near." That's exactly what Bartimaeus was doing. Even to the point that people turned and said, "Be quiet. Don't trouble the master." He cried out even the more. And a great deal he cried out. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we see Jesus telling his disciples what they should do. He's talking about seeking something, seeking it first. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We needn't be blinded by the world or the things that are in the world or the things that might be available to us. Because if we are seeking those things to the detriment of our seeing Christ, we're blind. We see that Bartimaeus was begging for anything he could get. When he was sitting by the wayside, begging, he was looking for a handout. Well, the truth of the matter was there was no way he could work. He truly was a needful soul. But then when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to get specific. What did he say? "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And when specifically asked, "What should I do unto thee that I might receive my sight?" It's interesting to me that all the ones that passed by, as Bartimaeus was there, he had out his hand, he may have been crying out, "Alms for the poor. Give to the blind man." Holding up a sign. like people do on the corners. Hungry. Need help. Can't see. I guess he would have to have somebody else write his sign, wouldn't he? But what did he do when Jesus was there? He got specific. I want to see. He wanted to see. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, we can see a prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled. That's the way some of the people of Bartimaeus' day were. That's the way some people today are. They can't see. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and shall be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus Christ came to this earth bringing truth and bringing light. And people refused to see it. People with perfectly good orbs in their head. They could see the trees. They could see the flowers. They could see the clouds. They could see all the glory of God, but could not see the light of the truth. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. When we were given sight, we were given a choice. The same thing is true today. We have choice because we have sight. And because we have sight, and because we have these choices, we need to make the right choices. We need to look in the right place. What did Jesus say to them? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to seek that first. That needs to be foremost in our life. When Jesus came near and Bartimaeus heard that he was near, he began calling out directly to him. When we make the right choices, Jesus can then work in us through the Word. We need to understand that Jesus does not work as he once worked when he was here on the earth, or when the Word was not complete, when miracles were part of God's plan. But he can heal us. But we've got to see with our eyes. We've got to hear with our ears. We've got to understand with our heart. We've got to be converted. Notice, if you will, in verse 52 of our text, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. It now tells us that Bartimaeus decided to go his way and become a shopkeeper. No, it doesn't. It says, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The one who gave him what he wanted, because it was what he needed, because of what he was requested, because what he had faith that he could receive because of Jesus, immediately followed Jesus. We need to be following. Why? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. It's because we belong to God. Why do we belong to God? It's because we have seen. Because we have made choices. Because we have seen. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why are they God's? It's because we are purchased with the blood of Christ. We saw the truth. We heard the truth. We understood the truth and realized that the truth was saying to us, do something. And we did it. We need to understand it's not because of who we are or who our parents were or anything of that nature. As you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, I recall when one time that I was compelled to hire the son-in-law of the man I worked for. I warned the man I worked for that there would be no special privileges. He said, all I want is for the boy to have a chance. I said, okay. Talked to the young man, asked him if he wanted the job. He said, yes. I said, do you understand what the job entails? I think so. I said, well, then let me spell it out for you. And I did. And I said, these are the rules you are to follow. Do you understand? Yes, I do. I had to make a trip to Columbia, South Carolina, because he had disrupted things so badly on a job because he felt he was mistreated. So I put him in my truck and carried him all the way back to Charlotte. And when we got back to Charlotte, I decided not to discuss with him. I told him some things and said, think about it while we drive. Think, don't talk. We got all the way back, and I said, okay, you've had time to think. What seems to be the problem? I'm being mistreated. Okay, I said, I understand that. I drove all the way to Columbia to get you because you're being mistreated. Why do you think you're being mistreated? And he said, because of who I am. I'm incredulous. I said, who are you? Well, I'm the boss's son-in-law. I said, did I not, on the day when you were hired, told you there would be no special considerations for you because of this? Well, yeah. I said, why then do you think now that I should make special considerations? Because of who I am. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. It don't matter who you am. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you become a child of God, not because of who your parents are, not because your parents were in the church before you. We need to follow. We need to follow because we have had those before us that have followed. And they knew what was waiting for them. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we see this. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. If you'll remember, the entire previous chapter talks about all of those folks. They call it the honor roll of faith. Seeing we are also, or also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race, or run with patience the race that is set before us. We specifically ourselves are to run that race. Why? Just like we said, God, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. People, that's why we are able to follow. That's why we were given the opportunity to see. With sight, we are given a choice. Bartimaeus left all to follow Christ. What are we going to do now that we can see? Furthermore, all that saw what happened there gave glory to God. In Luke's account, in Luke chapter 18, verse 43, it tells us this. It says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. This Bartimaeus was now a sighted follower. We also need to be a sighted follower. We who can see now have the opportunity to lead the blind. Think about that. The blind must first hear of Christ. They hear from those who have seen. There are times in our lives, at least there was in mine, in which I thought that I could see. Someone was gracious enough to do as those folks did when Jesus called me, relative to me. Back to our text. we see Jesus commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, what do I mean by the fact that someone called me, or someone caused me to be called? It's because they could see. They could see that I was a lost soul, and they presented before me the gospel. Whereunto you're called by the gospel. That's how we are called. That's what was offered to me. This, folks, in Bartimaeus' time, said to him directly, "Rise, he calleth thee." He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait. He took off. He threw away his garment. He rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What can I do for you? Or what would you have me do?" And he said, "I want to see." When someone was gracious enough to present to me the gospel, and to present it in such a way so that I could truly see, I realized how blind I was prior to that. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. "For whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." See, a good preacher, is really an optometrist. He helps people to see. And what are they to see? They're to see the gospel, which shines the light of Christ, so that we might know what to do to become children of God. But are all of those who see to be guides? Will we be like the blind guides that are found in Luke chapter 6, verse 39? There are those who have their eyes working. They can see to put one step in front of the other, but they're really blind. These are those who are leading people incorrectly. What does Luke chapter 6, verse 39 say about this? "And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" It's interesting when you got one who cannot see trying to lead someone else who cannot see. Physically, you try to do that, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. Spiritually, you're also going to stumble and fall. Will we tell the blind to be quiet? Look at Bartimaeus in our text. He heard that Jesus was there. He cried out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." They charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. What if they tell us to be quiet? Because we're unseen. Will we lead them into ditches? In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." There are those that we have tried to reach, that we have tried to cause to see, who will not hear the truth, who will not obey the gospel, who will not obey what God has said do. Yes, we agonize over it. Yes, our hearts are broken. But at some point, we need to understand that we need to let them alone. Or will we lead as those who see? I haven't had a lot of experience leading blind people physically. I don't know what it's like. I would try to guide them. But I understand from what I have read and what I have seen that you simply walk and they hold on to you and they have their little stick or whatever instrument that they use and they go along using you as a guide. But as we're talking about seeing from the inside of us, we need to be those that have seen the kingdom in order to show others the kingdom. It's kind of hard in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 for Nicodemus to grasp this. Can you imagine how foreign this sounded? Even to the point that he said, hey, how can this be, Lord? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Or can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This was a foreign concept to him. But it should not be foreign today. Will we urge the blind to meet Jesus? Saul found himself in a blinded condition. Ananias was sent for a twofold purpose. Number one, that he should restore the sight of Saul. But most importantly, he was there to tell him what to do. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 is where we find this. And we see the question that was asked. He came and he restored to him his sight. And he said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We need to seek Jesus with all of our being. We need to urge others to rise. He is calling you. Again, how is he calling? He's calling through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that gospel teach us? It teaches us what one must do to become a child of God. To be born again. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, we see that we must hear the word of God. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we see that we must believe. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, that we are to repent. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And when they do this, they should be willing to confess, as Peter did in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus had already asked them, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they received the answers. What men were saying. And he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we're to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we are to remain faithful until death. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Perhaps tonight you've never put on Christ in baptism. You need to understand that you are blind, and tonight you can see. Perhaps you have put on Christ, but you've gotten spiritual cataracts. You're now blind again. In other words, you've not been faithful until death. Well, there's an operation of God that can take care of that as well. It's called repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Our hymn of invitation tonight is 572. Soul a Savior, thou art needed. If your soul needs to come to the Lord tonight, Why don't you do so in accordance to his plan as together we stand and sing the invitation song?